All right, so if you will, go ahead, be turning to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start tonight by reading verse 35 there. We're kind of marching along through the questions that we had outlined several weeks, some months ago at this point. So tonight we'll be kind of embarking on a new question, and we'll see how far we get with it. I anticipate that we can get this one wrapped up tonight, but if there are any follow-up questions, like always, if a question comes out of this, and just mention it to me afterwards, and we will kind of continue adding to it, trying to answer as many questions that come up and arise as we can along the way. Tonight, the question that we're going to be looking at, so the title of tonight's session is A New Heaven and Earth. And the question that we're going to be looking at is, will creation or will the earth or will heaven and earth be destroyed? Or will creation, will the earth, will heaven be renewed? So destroyed, renewed, is there the possibility of both? Should we expect whatever comes next? So this is kind of a follow-up question to this. Should we expect whatever comes next to be completely unlike anything that we have ever experienced? So I just kind of want to pose that question to you again so that you can be thinking about how, you don't have to answer out loud. I just want you to be thinking about how you would answer that. We've kind of addressed some of this along the way, right? This is not the first time that we've encountered ideas like this. So hopefully we're rounding out the way that we understand some passages that might lead us to think one way or the other. And tonight we're going to be doing that also. The verse that I gave you, so question for you to be thinking about. Should we expect that whatever comes next, this is like looking forward to this eternal state. Should we expect whatever comes next to be completely unlike anything that we have ever experienced? I want you to think about that. And I'm very specific in the words that I've chose in asking this question. Should we expect that whatever comes next to be completely unlike anything that we have ever experienced? Specifically, where we're looking for kind of the idea that we're going to be addressing tonight, we're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, where we see this phrase, and a new heaven and a new earth. And I want us to think about, how should we think about that phrase, a new heaven and a new earth? And you can probably follow along with the way that idea flows in your minds, a new heaven and a new earth, because the old will pass away. Now, again, I'm not looking for you to necessarily answer me back on this one, but when you read that, is it not the case when we read that, that we tend to think towards destruction versus renewal, right? Especially when we think about what new is, we think about the old passing away, we think about the old being destroyed, right? And in that would lead us perhaps to thoughts of whatever's next has no influence or no way that we could tie it back or anchor it back to anything that we know or experience now, because whatever this new thing is in no way or no part influenced by what we know now. I think that's often the case, right? I think that's often the case. So the verse that we're going to start out reading tonight, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, this is, in fact, a guardrail that I want us to put up as we begin exploring this idea tonight. So if you're not there, go ahead, flip Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Really simple verse. And heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not, what? pass away. Who is it speaking here in this case? This is Jesus speaking. So speaking about the heavens and the earth, he speaks of heavens and the earth, that they will pass away. But what about his words? Will his words pass away? So when the heavens and the earth pass away, will his words pass away? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about where we're at on Sunday mornings, right? So Dustin's been going through the Gospels on Sunday mornings. We're kind of at this Sermon on the Mount. And we're walking through the blessed, right? Will any of those words pass away? When heaven and earth, in this sense, pass away, will those words pass away? Will any of the words of Christ pass away?
Will they be fulfilled?
Most certainly. Most certainly. Right? But being fulfilled is not passing away. So will his words pass away? No. Right? Now I want us, the way that I want us to anchor with this is I want us to think about what that means. Whatever heaven and earth passing away means, afterwards, an anchor that holds us in the way that we're thinking here is, what about Christ's words? What about Christ's actions? What about what Christ has done? Well, this text that we're looking at now, that we're beginning with, would tell us that when heaven and earth pass away, Christ's words will not pass away. And as we think about that, some of the things that I consider as I think about what it means for his words not to pass away, would his words be not passing away for him and himself only? The significance of him saying that in the text, is it for him and him only? Or is it for those that he's speaking to when he's saying this? It's when he's speaking to. Okay, so heaven and earth pass away. His words remain. They have not passed away. The importance and significance of his words, does that pass away? The impact that it has on us, does that pass away? Our understanding of those words, does that pass away? Think about that. Think about that. What does it mean for Christ's words to not pass away? Heaven and earth here passing away. But even in the passing away of heaven and earth, Christ's words remaining, your understanding of those words, for them to carry significance in remaining, right? I want you to follow with me in this. For you to read or think about the words that he said and it have significance, what does that mean about when you read it? Do you understand it? That understanding about what he's saying, the importance about what he's saying, is there. That's implied, right? For his words not to pass away, and the significance of them not to pass away, your understanding of them is going to need to stick around with it as well. Right? And this, again, this is not a new idea that we've just now brought up tonight. This is an idea that we've kind of been touching on for a while. But I want us, as we think about heaven eternal, I want us to think about these things more and more, and in some ways, more and more in a physical sense as well. What does it mean for us to understand it? So I want to challenge you with this, kind of setting this guardrail out. We're not going to go through all of Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to go through all of the words that Christ said. But I want you, when you're reading, when you're spending time in the Gospels, I want you to pay attention to the words that Christ speaks of, the words that he says, with the understanding that these words remain eternally. Their impact and influence remains eternally. So if he were to speak of a tree, would you imagine that your understanding of what a tree is has passed away? If he has spoken of hail, which Jesus gives the most information and insight into hell itself than any other figure in all of history. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What does that mean about your understanding of the words that don't pass away? I just want to put that out there, kind of an anchoring point. Whatever conclusion we come to when we're asking this question tonight about will creation be destroyed or will creation be renewed, or should we expect that whatever comes next to be completely unlike anything that we've ever experienced in the past, whatever conclusion we come to there cannot step around this reality that the words of Christ will not pass away. The impact and importance of them will not pass away. So whatever conclusions I draw or whatever conclusions that you draw, when you dig in and think about heaven eternal, a guardrail that you should have in place is that the work that Christ has done is in no way diminished there, right? That's where our hope comes from. And that hope is a hope even in heaven eternal, right? That's a hope for heaven eternal. All right. Yes. Yes. And these are if his word doesn't pass away and he says things to this end, like this is not something that becomes untrue after the resurrection, right? I want us to kind of keep that in mind. Now, let's go and look to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And this is not the first time that we've read this verse. It won't be the last time, I imagine, while we're in this study on heaven. So Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. All right. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. I'm going to read it again. We're going to do a small kind of like, we're going to put a pin in an idea that we're going to probably come back to in the next session. But before we move on, I want us to kind of touch on it because we're here and it just makes sense at this point to think about it while we're here. So Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away. Now, at this point, would we imagine that his words have passed away? No, right? No, that's the guardrail. So whatever conclusion we come to when we think about this, it is not that his words have passed away, or the significance of his work has passed away, or it's been diminished in any way. And then we find this interesting phrase here at the end of this that I want us to think about. And we're going to touch on this a little bit more because in Revelation chapter 21, in the latter parts of Revelation, we come in contact with a couple of different places where it's just like, it's interesting the words that are used, because these words tend to cause us to think that whatever's next is somehow completely and radically different from any experience that we've had on earth today, right? So I want us to think about that. And the sea was no more. And that we're going to spend some time in the next week or so thinking about this and the idea that there's no need for sun or moon or these types of things. But I want us to think about this phrase here, and the sea was no more. And like, we get this whole picture of new heaven, new earth, first heaven, first earth passing away, and then like just kind of tacked on to that, and the sea was no more. As I read this, in the flow of what's being said here, this stands out to me in a way that part of my brain's like, that just seems unnecessary at this point, right? There's a part of when I read this Revelation 21, just the whole thing, that it being said here just seems out of place. It seems out of place enough that it causes me to think about, why would you put that phrase there, right? Because when I think that it's out of place, is it out of place? No. What's the case when I think it's out of place? Probably, then I need a better understanding of what's being said there, right? Like, His word is true. His word is the one that will not pass away, right? So when I see this, and I'm reading this, and I run into it, and I'm like, why put that there? Like, what's the significance of that? And kind of part of the way that I'll go about something like this is I'll just be like, let me pull up a search for the word see in all of Scripture and see what comes back, right? Like, let me look at all of the verses that mention anything about see, and let me see if I can see any connection between them, anything of significance between them, anything that seems to stand out to me as I look at this. So there's a couple of places. We're not going to go there now. We'll go there in a future session, probably next week. So if you want to mark these down and go look at them, I would encourage you to do that. Revelation 13 and 1 would be one place that I would point you towards. Daniel chapter 7 verse 3 would be another significant place where this word is used. And the reason that I select those two passages is, one, Revelation's in the direct context of the book where I'm seeing this phrase, and the sea was no more, and I have question about it. So that's really close in context to it. And then I would look at something like Daniel chapter 7 because the language is very similar in its intent, in its usage, and what's happening there. Also apocalyptic in tone, the Daniel chapter 7 verses. So when I look at this, and I would encourage you to go and spend some more time in this, when I see this, the sea was no more, I realize, and as I think more and more about it, it makes more and more sense to me. Like, we've lost our fear in a lot of ways of the sea because we feel as though we've mastered the sea, right? Or we'll hop on a plane and we'll fly right on across it, right? And the only time we ever worry about it is if an engine goes out on the plane, or if we happen to be in a boat and a really bad storm comes and we realize the chaos, the turmoil that the sea can often bring. And within Scripture, specifically in Revelation 13 and 1 and Daniel 7, 3, we see the sea as this source of earthly rebellion, chaos, danger. And when I think about that, when I think about the context of the way that the sea is used specifically in Revelation and Daniel here, and I think about what he's saying when he says, in a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I think about that in the context of that danger, that chaos, that uncertainty, that thing that would drive us to fear when we look out across it. These, like, rebels against God literally rising up out of the sea. Then when I see this here, what I see, the connection that I see being made, is this assurance that those things are over, right? Those things are put to rest. Like, truly the sea has been mastered at this point, right? So we're going to come back and we're going to spend some more time on that in the future, because there's a lot of other, like, wording in this verse where it would cause us to think about the sun not being there or the moon not being there or, you know, things like that. So we're going to spend some time focused on that specifically. Like, I have a question that's like around that. Will the oceans be gone? Will the sun, the moon, the stars, like will they be no more? Like, what's going on there? So I mentioned this to say that we'll come back and touch this again in the future, but also to say I want us to see a parallel that's being made when we look at another place in Scripture where we see a similar pattern, right? So one of the things that I've been trying to encourage you along the way as we've been looking at this is looking at Christ as the pattern, and that pattern being used as the lens by which we look at other things. We've done this with the resurrection, the way that we look at our own hope for resurrection bodies and what that might entail and things that make sense when we think about that. We're going to do the same thing as we consider this pattern that we see in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. So I want you to flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but keep Revelation 21 kind of bookmarked. Put something in it, fold the page, whatever you need to do so that you can get back to it quickly, because I want you to notice a similar pattern and theme that we get when we look at ourselves, right? Are you new? It's a question that I want to pose to you now. Believers, are you a new creation? Are you? Are you a new creation? Okay, now I want you to put a pin in that idea, and I want you to think about that week that you were saved. I want you to think about that day that you placed your faith in Christ. And I want to think about the people that had not seen you in a day or two or three. And then you come to Christ because He came to you. And then you see them. Did they recognize you? Were you not new? Were you not new? That's a good thought. So I want us to think about, should the text that we're about to read say instead, you will one day be a new creation? Should it say that instead? It says, let's read it so that we can see for ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 17. We're going to go down through 19, but 17 particularly is where we're going to see this parallel. So the parallel that I want you to look at, the thing that I want you to pay attention to as you're flipping back and forth between Revelation 21 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is this phrase, a new creation, paralleled with a new heaven and a new earth. And the old has passed away with the first heaven and earth has passed away. Right? So I want us to see that this language, this pattern is not new in Revelation 21:1. This is a pattern that we've seen before. This is a pattern that speaks directly to you as a believer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I'm in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And yet everyone that sees you will recognize you as you. But it is true of you that you are a new creation. The old has, not will, but has passed away. This is true of you today. And yet everyone that saw you, if they see you again, will recognize you, the new you, to be continuous with the you that was the old you. Right? So what do we see here? What do I want us to see here? I want us to see, and we see this in 18 and 19, is that this language of new and passing away, you personally have experienced this, right? You've personally experienced this. And yet your life that is new, that's different from the one that's old and passed away, there are recognizable things about who you are in both of those spheres, right? On both sides of that new and passing away transition, there are things about you that you recognize in both sides of that, right? You would say the day before that it was I, and you would say the day after that it's I. There's continuity. When I say continuity, that's what I mean. That there's no break where it's like you woke up that next day something completely different. There's continuity between the old that passed away and the new, right? So much continuity, in fact, that everyone that saw you before, like say you went down to the altar. You went down to the altar and you poured your heart out. And you stood up and turned around and people were like, oh, well, who's this stranger at the altar now? No, not one. They recognize you because there's continuity in this new and passing away. In that very moment, you were new. You were found in Christ. The old had passed away. And you stand up and you look at all those that you knew before and they still know you. They still recognize you. They see you. Right? This new and passing away. So what I want us to see here, verse 18. So I'm going to read this whole thing together because this is what I want us to see as we start reading this language of new heaven, new earth. First heaven, first earth, passing away. It's not like there's not discontinuity in the two events. There's not like this has nothing that's recognizable about the first. Right? In the same way that you were recognizable, in the same way that you were known before and after. And yet people could see in the one that they could recognize. People could see something new about you. True? True? People could see the work of Christ in you. True? In the same way, though there's going to be continuity between the old and the new, after the passing away, there's going to be things that we recognize and there's going to be things that we see differently, clearer, right? God's work, and this is what I want us to see here. When we think about destruction and the kind of the way that I worded the question, so will creation be destroyed or will creation be renewed? Another way that you could say that, will creation be destroyed or will creation be reconciled? Will it be reconciled? This is the word that we're going to see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. So I'm going to start back in 17 and I'm going to read through 19 here. I want you to see this ministry of reconciliations. Reconciliation is work of reconciling. What does reconciliation mean? If you were to look it up, simple definition, the restoration of friendly relations or a reuniting is a way that you could understand what it means to be reconciled. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. So how do I want us to think about? And we're at the end. This is where I want you to think about the question that we've put forward. I want you to see this pattern between the two. So let me, before I get to posing questions for you to kind of chew on, I want just to point out that pattern again. So I'm going to read Revelation 21 and 1, and then I'm going to do that in reverse. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and then I'm going to go straight into Revelation 21, 1. So if you've got your Bible where you can flip back and forth between the two, I want you to read it, and I want you to see this parallel usage here, and then I want you to understand that God has been. The pattern that we see in Christ is a pattern of reconciliation and restoration, right? Reconciliation, restoration. So when we think about creation and what He's going to do when He makes the new heaven and the new earth, I want us to be in line with that it works in the same way that He makes you a new creation, right? There's the same pattern. He's reconciling, restoring, renewing. Like, this is the pattern that He's demonstrated outside of the apocalyptic texts, right? I want us to see that pattern outside, and then we bring that in as we go in to understand these things, right? That's why we look at this. So read with me 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is present tense in the believer. It's very easy for you to see the continuity in your own lives, right? This is why it's important for us to look and see and think like this. Because you understand what this new creation looks like in you, believer. Right? You see it working out. Now, Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And he continues into what he sees here, right? So, we're going to end. I'm going to pose this question again to you. And we're going to get into some specifics of this next time. Specifically, I would invite you to go and look at the end of Revelation 21:1, where it says, and the sea was no more. Look at other things that it seems like are no more, or that it would say that there's no need of, or anything like that, because those are going to be things that we look at next time. Because those are things that oftentimes when we look at this verse, one of the takeaways that makes us think it's got to be something completely different than anything we've ever known is that you don't know what it's like to need no sun, right? I want you to go and dig into those things ahead of next time when we're going to begin more and more digging into some of the specifics of the things that I think oftentimes cause us to think that whatever's different, there's no use. We give up when we try to think about what it must look like. And I would go so far as to say is that if he's doing there, if that's kind of that completion of that work for us and creation, the like reconciliation has been fully enacted at that point, that you have more to draw from in understanding what that might look like, because you are currently experiencing what that reconciliation, what that renewing looks like as a believer, that it is said of you that you are a new creation, that the old has passed away, that the new has come, right? So, will creation be destroyed? Or will creation be renewed? Or could it be both? I'm going to leave you thinking about that. Should we expect whatever comes next to be completely unlike anything that we have ever experienced? That's the other question that I want you to be thinking about. Now, I'm going to go ahead. I don't want to force any of this upon you, but I also don't want you to think that I'm trying to be like sneaky or tricky in where I'm trying to lead you. Where I'm trying to lead you is that creation will be renewed. If that's not clear in the way that I've laid kind of this one out, then I would find it hard for myself to be more clear in that. I believe that creation's not destroyed, but that he's demonstrated in you and I and in all of his work thus far that he's working to reconcile and renew. And then when I ask the question, should we expect whatever comes next to be completely unlike anything we've ever experienced? I'm trying to lead you towards? No. It's not unlike anything you've experienced. It's things that you've been experiencing in the absence of the fall, in the absence of your own sin. It's His good work restored, renewed, and reconciled. That's where I'm trying to lead you in your thoughts. We're going to do that next time as we think about what does it mean for the sea to be no more. Again, Revelation 13, verse 1, Daniel 7:3. Those will probably be where we start off next time.